Jim Davis along with Cake. Cake's good any day of the week, as far as I'm concerned.
Unless you leave it sitting out for too long. And then?
Then it gets, yeah, it gets dry and it's...
It's not good.
No fun. Not good at all. I did like the cake that our IT guy, Bobby Kamen, had the other day.
Bab.
It was like some banana cream pie kind of cake thing. It was really good. I was...
Ooh.
Yeah. You didn't get a chance to have any of it?
No, I had the brownies.
Okay. Well, the brownies were good, too.
They were like, very good.
Like, it's chocolate. You can't screw that up, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, it was pretty good. Anyway, I digress. I'm waxing cake here this morning.
Neither here nor there.
So, your predictions on Broncos 49ers. We'll have our Fearless Football picks coming up. Eric from K-Star is going to be our NBC Fearless Rando this week.
Yes, our Fearless Rando.
Florida Gator fan extraordinaire. It's where he matriculated
in
his collegiate days. Eric Burr. Interesting cat, Eric Burr.
Interesting fellow.
Fantastic pipes.
Oh, yeah.
And there's times he'll ask me a question because he comes off as a very introspective guy, very thoughtful guy.
Right.
Very smart guy. Sometimes he'll say something to me and it'll this... Like, so, water is wet, right? and he'll say it in a way that sounds very thoughtful, very smart.
Right.
And he'll go...
Philosophical.
I'm like, well, yeah, Eric, water is wet. Not that he's never said that, but it'll be just something...
Something in that vein.
Fairly, yeah, that most people know, and it'll be like a surprise to him. But he'll say it in a way that you're thinking he's very smart... Because he's got great pipes. Like Mark Johnson could say anything.
Yeah.
Mark could come up with the most utter nonsense. But because his voice is so impressive, you're thinking, okay, whatever that guy says, that's got to be the truth.
I'm in.
Because that guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Reading from the phone book, he could probably make it sound interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not to spoil anything, but our picks last week. Not great.
Uh-huh.
Except for you. So
okay. Well, I will not celebrate myself yet. We'll wait till 9:20-ish for that when the Pope joins us.
It was not ideal. No. It was not great all around. So let's do better this week, team.
Let's regroup. Hey, by the way, you can still get your picks in. You might have missed on the Pittsburgh Cleveland game last night.
I did.
You can still get your picks in for Pile Pigskin Pick'em. Powered by Kistner Motors. Chance to win one of two $500 gift cards to play it again sports and that big green egg smoker grill from Fruit of Co-op Country as well. So
That's a cool little machine right there.
So get your picks in. You could still have a chance to contend this weekend, even though you missed on the Thursday night game. You can get to our website to get your picks in if you've not done it already at the team1340.com. All right, Broncos 49ers coming up on Sunday here on the team. Pregame at 4, kickoff at 6:20. Yesterday, those who participated and didn't participate, Jerry Jeudy did not practice yesterday. Tyree Cleveland dealing with a hamstring, limited to practice. Jonathan Cooper, same situation, hamstring, limited to practice. Good news in regard to KJ Hamler, Josie Jewell. Both guys were limited, but they did participate. Jewel with the calf problem, Hamler with the knee hip issue, but both guys were on the field yesterday. Draymond Jones limited at practice with a neck problem, ankle problem for DJ Jones, but he was on the field. Good news in regard to the Broncos offensive line, Quinn Meinerz, who's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He was limited yesterday. Maybe we'll see the gut on Sunday night. Mike Purcell has had an elbow problem. He was limited to practice yesterday. Patrick Surtain II, of course, had the shoulder injury in the Houston game. Limited to practice after not practicing on Wednesday. So that's a good sign. Billy Turner limited yesterday, but he was a full participant on Wednesdays. Looking more and more like Billy Turner is probably going to play Sunday night. Randy Gregory had the knee issue and didn't practice Wednesday, but he was a full participant yesterday. Dalton Reisner, full participant after he also had an elbow problem. Caden Stearns, a hip issue. Limited Wednesday, full participant yesterday. Kaywan Williams, a full participant yesterday as well. So looks like from an injury standpoint, things are starting to
on the mend
to get a little better.
Hopefully.
Trending a little more in the right direction.
Please.
Please. Please, please, please. So right now, okay, this has been the big subject this week on like the get-ups and all the talking head shows.
Oh, yeah.
Who's more to blame here for the Broncos' red zone problems? Is it Nathaniel Hackett or is it Russell Wilson? Because now we're hearing more of the, well, some of this is on Russ. You know, if Russ was just a little more accurate, you know, Cortland Sutton wouldn't have stepped on the sideline.
All right, you know
Eric Tomlinson and... I still think it's more about the play caller than the play executor.
So
in this case,
in this particular case, yes, it is probably more on Hackett than it is on Wilson, because I think Wilson and the Broncos are executing the plays that are called. It's just that the plays that are called not ideal in some circumstances. Although that that Sutton touchdown that got wiped off the board.
So close.
So stupid. They should have, you know what? I'm all for instant replay. I'm all for challenge to, you know, get the call right. Fine. But in a real time, real look, real world, in-game speed, that's a touchdown. I don't care what, you know, his pinky toe was just a skosh on the white paint.
But out's out, man.
I know, out's
out. I understand why you feel the way you do.
I think
But his toe was touching the white, and that means he's out.
I think I'm more frustrated because that was sort of that to me was the death knell. That was the canary in the coal mine. That said, oh God, this game is going to be worse than we thought. Because once they overturned the call, it deflated them. They couldn't get back into a rhythm.
Yep, I think it's accurate.
They couldn't get, you know, because that was the whole issue with the Seattle game is they had so many red zone opportunities and they just missed. Once they got a red zone touchdown, you're thinking, okay, that sort of clears the clutter, right? That gets rid of that, because it's probably in their heads, we got red zone problems. It's in the players' heads. It's in the coaches' heads. The media's talking about it. We're talking about it because it's obviously a problem.
Right.
So when they scored, you're going, okay, that's the starting of the getting rid of the problem of not being able to score touchdowns in the red zone. We can move on from this and we can start to play a better game. We can focus on other things. Once that call got overturned, you're going, oh no, here we go again. They can't score in the red zone. They can't get touchdowns. What are we doing? And that to me is only going to exacerbate the problem unless and until they find a way to score a clean touchdown, undisputed, irrefutable. He's in with 2 feet. Ball crosses the plane. You know, unless and until they are able to definitively score a red zone touchdown, they're going to be thinking in their heads, God, we need to score a touchdown here.
Yeah, then they start pressing. And, okay, we got to make something happen here.
And they're going to overthink it. They're going to overcorrect. They're going to steer off into the ditch. And we're going to continue this sort of cyclical, they can't score in the red zone. We keep talking about them not being able to score in the red zone. They can't score in the red
paralysis
zone.
Paralysis by analysis.
Exactly.
But that's where I liked what Russell Wilson said. Now, our colleague, the Buckeye boy, was kind of like, okay, Russ being nerdy leader guy. That's kind of what he was saying. Because he was talking about how close they've been.
Right.
The Cortland Sutton catch that you referenced, Tomlinson on the sideline in the Seattle game, the little shovel pass to Andrew Beck that they didn't score on, the two fumbles that they had by both Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, that they've been close.
Right.
And so if I'm Russell Wilson, I have to find the positives here. And so I don't blame him for, hey, we are close. We're not as bad as 0-6 in the red zone makes it out to be. We've been very close to scoring touchdowns. So, but a lot of this to me comes back on Nathaniel Hackett. Here's Nat Hack on improving at game management.
You know, I think that's something that we've really jumped into and wanted to make sure that we can get better at that. And it starts with me. And, you know, I'm doing every single thing I can to try to put myself in position to be able to make quicker, faster, more efficient decisions. George, Mooj, all those guys have been absolutely spectacular in helping me through that process because that is something that is new for me. And I think we're going to have some good answers as we move forward.
I'm glad to see him take some accountability because initially it's kind of like, well, it's the information I'm getting, it's getting relayed to me, and it's the process, and it's taking me time. I'm glad he's saying, look, this is on me.
Right.
This is where it begins and ends with him. The buck stops with him. He's the head coach of this team.
And isn't that just a breath of fresh air from Vic Fangio or Pat Shurmur, who would decisively deflect blame?
Absolutely.
On a Pat Shurmur, I think more so than Fangio, because Fangio was more
Fangio would deflect, but he like, I gotta get better, we gotta get better at it, but you know, and he always had like an excuse, but Shurmur was the one that would typically, you're right, just go stiff arm everybody, Heisman everybody, I don't want to hear about it. That's not a problem. Well, yeah, it is a problem.
And it was, and it was mostly, I think, because he was in charge of the offense. Yep. Fangio was more in charge of the defense with Pat Shurmur.
Shurmur's a tool.
Well, yeah, that's so. That we know. I need to look up the numbers because for my money, I feel as though, and I know we're only 2 weeks into the season, but I feel as though even through these first 2 weeks, from a percentage standpoint, just getting to the red zone seems to me on paper better than it was last year. Now, I'm looking at it through rose-colored glasses.
No, you're right about that. That is accurate to say that. They have been better. 20-20, they've been better. Just opportunities in the red zone. I believe I saw where they're fourth best in the league right now. And you got two teams are actually tied for the second most red zone opportunities so far this season. I mean, be it small sample size, we're just, you know, a couple of games in. But just looking at, you know, that for the Broncos, they are the first team since at least 2000 to produce five goal-to-goal situations in the season's first two games and not convert on any of them. And so as far as only the Chiefs with 7, Niners with 6, Eagles have 6, have more goal-to-go drives a season than Denver's 5. Broncos have produced those chances on a play rate, explosive play rate of 14%. That's passes of 16 or more yards, runs or 12 or more yards. That ranks 5th in the league right now. And that doesn't include, this is from The Athletic, these numbers, pass interference penalties of 25, 31, and 42. So take those out. This is just what they've actually earned right in terms of offensive play calling and execution. So they're right there. Now, we had Cody Rourke on. He joins us every Wednesday. Mile High Sports covers the Broncos for Mile High Sports Radio. Here's his thoughts about Nathaniel Hackett and clock management.
It's odd to me because in the preseason, none of this was an issue for the Broncos. Now, does that have anything to do with your starters being in? I think he's just overthinking it because everything matters. Everything that you do as an offense, as a football team, everything counts right now.
And he's right. There wasn't this problem in the preseason.
No.
But then again, starters also didn't play in the preseason. But still, whether it's backups or starters, the information chain is the same. The decision-making's the same in the part of Nathaniel Hackett. So here's Nathaniel Hackett on Denver's Sunday night opponent, the San Francisco 49ers.
we've seen the Niners quite a bit, and they're a very, very good football team. They're unbelievably physical. They have some unbelievable playmakers on both sides of the ball. And, I mean, they're simple on defense, but they are almost perfect in their execution. They've been in the system for five or six years now with Kyle on defense. And when you get that consistency, it allows players not to have to think and they can go play at a high level. And when they're good players too, then you see an even better production. It's the same thing with the offense. You know, they've been in the same offense for quite a while, and they all know exactly what to do, what they're trying to accomplish, and that's what you're gaining and trying to get as a coach always. So I think that you just see an all-around good football team, and now Jimmy's there. I mean, he's played a lot of big games, been very successful. Heck, all the way back to 2017, and when I was at Jacksonville, I remember going when he was there, and I think that was his first year when he came in and won those games at the end. So, I mean, he's a real good football player, gets the ball out quick, and they're a good football team.
All right, here's Cody Rourke on the Niners offense.
In my opinion, I feel like the Broncos would have been better served going against a guy like Trey Lance. Deebo Samuel is going to see a little bit more of a workload. I mean, obviously, I think everyone's going to be wondering, is George Kittle going to play? If he misses this game, that's huge for the Broncos, but still, this is going to be the Broncos' toughest test early on here in the season.
No doubt about it. Now, we also had Jake Hutchinson on. He covers the Niners for KNBR. He was our Know Your Enemy this past Wednesday. And just talking about the Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo situation.
I'm not sure that they were going to bench him, because with Lance, it's something where you have off-schedule ability. He has arm talent to push the ball down the field. He can run, whereas Garoppolo, he's going to execute these basic short throws. It's going to be reliable, but the high-ceiling, big-moment playmaking ability is not there.
All right, so I appreciated Jake Hutchinson from KNBR joining us the other day. So, anyway, so the Broncos get the Niners coming up on Sunday night, pregame at 4, kickoff at 6 o'clock for that one, right here on the Team Sports Network. 620, I should say, 4 o'clock pregame for that one for the Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers. So last night, you had Thursday Night Football, AFC North showdown between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. Cleveland behind two Jacoby Brissett touchdowns. They get the win last night. Here's the call courtesy of Westwood One. Maybe. Possibly.
At some point. With 3 minutes to go here in the first. Cleveland driving from the 11. Brissett rifles over the middle. Caught! Touchdown! Amari Cooper! That was a dime from Jacoby Brissett. And the Browns strike first.
Amari Cooper lines up in the slot right there to the left and just runs a simple slant play. Way too easy of a play if you're the Pittsburgh defense. Cooper, their best receiver, we can't allow him to line up in the red zone and run a simple slant play. Give Jacoby credit. He sees it. He recognizes it. He gets the ball out on time. He hits Cooper right in his gut. A walk-in touchdown, basically untouched.
All right, that Zion Eagle, Jason McCourty, last night, Westwood won here on the team. A 29-17 victory for Cleveland last night. Jacoby Brissett with the two touchdown passes, 220 through the air. Nick Chubb, a touchdown, 113 yards for him last night. The struggles continue for Mitchell Trubisky, 20-32, 207 last night. Najee Harris, a touchdown on 15 carries and 56 yards last night. As the Steelers drop to 1-2, and the Browns are now 2-1.
Now, did you see or get a chance to see afterwards? Because I know you and I were back here doing.
We were working last night.
We were working the Fruita game, but did you catch the George Pickens insane sideline catch that he made?
I did not.
Okay, so you remember the Odell catch that he had? You know,
the one hand, yeah.
Think that, except George Pickens is basically parallel to the ground.
That's crazy.
Like, he's horizontal and he's making the catch like one-handed off the thing. It's, I'm not gonna say better than, because I think the Odell catch is better by de facto that it was a touchdown. This one was just an insane catch on the sideline, but it was still insane. The other thing, and this sort of ties into something I've got for four down territory, but the old FanDuel, Pat McAfee, they had a little special promotion that Pat McAfee was running.
Right.
For Pittsburgh to cover the -7.5, the late touchdown at the very end, on the very last play, literally blew that wide open, so much so that Vandal said, we're just going to refund people who laid down on that Pat McAfee, because it was so bizarre and it screwed up everything on the last play that even Pat McAfee was like, you have got to be bleeping kidding me. So, lesson learned, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so upsets this weekend in the NFL. I'm looking at one.
You're looking at one? What do you got?
Lions at the Vikings.
Ooh, you know.
Minnesota's a 5.5-point favorite at home. But the Lions right now, Jared Goff's playing really well.
They've got a fire lit under them.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at what Amon-Ra St. Brown has done. He's become a big-time weapon
for
Jared Goff. And he could set a new NFL record of his 9th straight game with 8 or more receptions. He's the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's become the new Megatron with the Detroit Lions. I'm liking the Lions to go in there and pull off the upset on that one. So
I could see it.
So if you're looking, if you got an upset you want to send our way today, predictions on Broncos, 49ers, college upsets as well. We'll get to those coming up later on. Text or call us 970-242-1340. All right, it is time for Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
It is, except I wasn't ready for the thing, and now I am.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
You cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
All right, your chance to win beer today, case of Fat Tire from our friends at High Country Beverage. Must be 21 and older. And if you've won the last 2 weeks, you got to sit it out. We're going to this stadium, opened in 2019, 62,000 seats, and will host the Minnesota Vikings in their clash with the New Orleans Saints. All Kirk Cousins has to remember is that his receivers will have to run routes on the left side of the field, not the right, like we do here in the States. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? This is an easy one.
All right, so first correct answer gets a case of Fat Tire from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. Must be 21 or older, and if you've won the last 2 weeks, sit it out. Text your answer in right now. First correct answer wins. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Starting it up after dark.
Welcome back, 827. Jim along with Cake today. Your predictions for upsets this weekend, the NFL. I like the Lions to go into Minnesota. I know the Vikings are 5.5-point favorites, but I'm feeling something different about this Lions team.
So do I.
And this is after I've had some criticism of Dan Campbell being a little too
hokey.
Old school football coach. We're gonna bite off their kneecaps. And I don't know how long it will last and if Dan Campbell can sustain that kind of leadership model with the Lions, but Jared Goff's playing well. You know, St. Brown has become a big factor for what they're doing. Aiden Hutchinson on that defensive front, their defense is better. And
yeah,
you know, not saying the Lions are going to be a 9-win team or anything like that, but the Lions are, they were tough out of times last year, and they're even more, I think, difficult this year. So I've got that one as my upset. We'll have our picks later on, 9:20 this morning with Eric from K-Star, and give the prediction on the Broncos and the 49ers. Coming up Sunday, pregame at 4, kickoff at 6:20 right here on the Team Sports Network. But normally we talk with River City Sportsplex Jackson Wilson. He's MIA today, but you know, maybe he'll come scurrying in here in a few minutes. But we got Deb Menger from River City Sportplex. She's in charge of the curling program there. Deb, good morning.
Thank you very much for having me. Good morning.
And so we got curling season beginning very, very soon. Now, the Learn to Curl is coming up next weekend, correct?
Right. So we start off with the Learn to Curl sessions, and they will be starting next week. Actually, our first one could be on Tuesday. Let me just go back and talk a little bit about last year. Last year, we had a league on Sunday nights. We had 32 people. That's the maximum you can have curl in the league, and it sold out within 2 days. So this year it was last year was so successful. So we have expanded to two more days.
Fantastic.
So we will be doing the Sunday night league like we always have. And then we're going to do a Friday night's happy hour league, which will run on Friday nights from 5:40 to 7:40. So after you get off work, get your buddies, get your girls, come on down, throw some stones, drink a brew.
Yeah, drink some of that free flow.
Yeah.
There at River City Sport
Plus.
Yeah,
there you go. And then we're also going to try a daytime midday league. So this would be perfect for seniors, people who work in the hospitals at nights, who would love to curl. And that would be from noon to 2. So it would be kind of a midday lunchtime league. And
yeah, a lot of different times, a lot of different options for
right.
people. That's great. Chance to experience it.
So this will all starting up next week. So next Sunday night, October 2nd, will be the first Learn to Curl. And we're already having the league start filling up. So this is a chance to get out there early, try it. You're going to like it. It's, you know, it's a no contact. It's easy on the body. If you can't get down and get back up like I can't anymore, you can use the stick.
Sure.
And it's for any age.
And I had the chance, my wife and I did. We stopped by the Bonspiel when you guys were doing that.
Oh, you did.
I didn't say hello because you were busy. You were out there competing. I wasn't wasn't going to mess with that.
Well, I actually won my first game, and I kind of didn't want to, but I did. And so I had to play in the final. Well, I didn't have to. I was fortunate to play in the final. And I don't know. I got nervous.
Oh, and as And you've been doing this for a long time, so for you to get nervous, I mean, that's a good thing, though, that you still love doing it, and it's still that much fun that, hey, get a little bit...
But I got beat by very, you know. Very good players, so that's all right.
But it was a lot of fun to get to watch that, and it's competitive, but it's friendly,
yeah.
You know, there's good, you know, everybody kind of cheers each other on.
That's
and
right.
You know, there'll be a little bit of fun smack talking, but normally it's everybody's kind of supportive of each other. And,
right.
And I thought that was kind of one of the really cool things about it. And so if you're looking for something that there's that competitive element to it, but it's more low key. And like Jackson says, you can do it drinking a beer near
you
hand.
You can.
Which is really cool.
Many of our players participate.
And vibe while they're competing, and that's okay. It's a great thing to try to get into. It's something different. If you're looking for kind of a unique thing, if you played, you know, City Rec softball and basketball and you're golf or whatever, and you've done all these things and you enjoy doing those, or if you enjoyed it, but you're looking for something really different, I would strongly suggest you try curling.
And it's becoming so popular. I mean, it's taking the country by storms. I mean, everybody thinks of Canada being this big, you know, but the world has catched on. The curlers out of Japan are coming in. They're just, you know, it's just becoming really big. And the biggest thing is, I have to tell you one thing. One of our new signups this year is a family. They're the youngest that's going to be playing this year is 10. So we will gladly take families with children. If you want to form a team with your kid, your son, you and your daughter, you know, whatever, want to come out and play, you can play anywhere from, and we'll take a 90-year-old. We can even take you if you're in a wheelchair. Did you know that? You can curl if you're in a wheelchair.
That's fantastic. And and so when we're talking about, like, from a team standpoint, how many people can play on a curling team?
So the way it can't should work is you need 3 to 4.
Okay.
4 is the maximum on a team, but we have played with 3. Like if one of your players can't show up for a weekend, sure. You're playing with 3.
Kind of like a bowling league a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So so that's the way it is. So it's maximum 4. So basically 32 players is the max. You'd have 8 teams, 7 weeks you play. You play everybody once, and then the Bonspiel is the 8th week. And I have really good news. Inflation did not hit the curling world.
Well, that's good. It left one area alone, and that was curling. And
the price is the same as last year.
And so what are we talking about in terms of price, in terms of people getting signed up and when it all happens?
So to play in the league, which will start in the mid-October, okay, so that's a few weeks away, 3 weeks away. To play on the team, you're paying $125 per person. So if you're single and you just want to join somebody else and play a team, you're playing 120, and that will get you 8 games.
Okay.
Okay. Then to come out and learn to curl, it's $15 a head per person. You'll get 2 hours of curling. Where are you going to go for entertainment for $15, you know, yeah, for two hours.
Hard pressed.
And
to
then
find
that's
that,
where
yeah.
you will see if you really want to do this. If you are already on a curling team, we knock a little bit off that. So you can come out and practice with your team on the Learn to Curls and start
that's great.
Working out things. So it's way open. So
Deb Minger, River City Sportplex, she's in charge of curling at River City. So Learn to Curl coming up next week, and then the leagues will be starting very, very soon. And as far as equipment, you guys have
everything.
Nobody has to go out and buy equipment or anything like that. Just the price that you're talking about, the price, the ice time, the instruction time. And you just show up.
You just show up. You do need a good pair of tennis shoes.
Yep.
Okay, so because we'll put the grippers on you so that you don't fall.
Right.
We have the brooms. We have the extenders that you use for playing like a shuffleboard. We have all the stones. Believe me, you don't want to have to start buying stones.
No. A little pricey, I'm sure.
But we have everything. And dress, you know, warm like you would. It's chilly. But once you start playing, you might get a little bit warm. Or if you're having a few beers and warm up.
Blood gets flowing and start heating up a little bit. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, I really encourage everybody to just come out. And if you have any questions, RiverCitySportsplex.com has answers, or you can get a hold of me. So I'm really the wealth of knowledge of this. So
if somebody wants to ask you some questions about this, Deb, how do they get in touch with you at River City Sportplex?
Well, you can call them and they would give you my personal number.
Okay. Yeah, we won't do it over the air here. But so call River City Sportplex.
I want to talk to Deb about this in more detail.
Yeah, and sure you can get information on the website as well. Right. That'll probably give you some helpful guidance on which way to go with the curling program. So once again, the Learn to Curl starts
next. Well, we have our first one truthfully on Tuesday at noon. However, I'm not sure how that's going to fly. It's out there. But the first big one is Sunday night, October 2nd at 5:30 to 7:30. $15 for non-league players. If you're already on the league, which we already have people on there, you'll pay $10 to come out and practice with your team. And then on the website, they'll start up. We'll be doing them for the next 2 weeks. On Friday and Sunday nights. So there's about 6-7 chances to come out and try to learn to curl and then sign up for the league. Because I think once you try it, you're going to buy it.
You're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Something to do this winter. Curling over at River City Sportplex. Hey, Deb, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you had me.
And I'm going to thank you for coming in. And Jackson, I don't know what his deal was today. Come on, Jackson.
I know. Well,
Jackson.
You know, the hockey is just, I'll plug for him. The hockey is just taking off over there.
Oh, it's doing great, yeah.
I mean, when you have a league playing from 10 at night till midnight, then there's something going on.
Yeah. I saw a guy the other day with his hockey equipment in the back of his truck. It was like it was a crew cab, but he could see the CCM. You see the hockey stuff sticking out of the back seat, had a hockey sticker on his window. And you know, obviously with the Avalanche, what they did, it's building a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement for hockey here in the Valley with River City Sportplex. Deb, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we got a prediction from Dylan today. Broncos grind out a win over the 49ers. Jags beat the Chargers in an upset. So Dylan calling his shot today with Jacksonville.
So one of the upsets that I was looking at, and I'm not sure, can we call it an upset because one team is 1-1, the other is 0-2. Jets and Bengals. I could see, and you know, by the time that I say this, I'm sure I'll be horribly wrong come Monday, but I could see the Jets pulling that one off. I could see the Jets getting a win over Cincinnati and Cincinnati starting 0-3.
Whew.
Again,
I expected that. I mean, maybe a little bit of a hangover after losing the Super Bowl, but
when you lose to Cooper Rush, something's gone wrong.
That's not good. Not good. All right, 8:38. We're talking about declining girls basketball, not just here in Colorado, but across the country. Roy from Fruita, another factor of the decline of high school sports is cost. It costs a lot of money to go to all the camps, get on club teams versus little leagues, etc., and pay travel expenses. Many families can't afford organized sports anymore. It's really too bad that it's a luxury that many people can't afford.
And to further add on to that excellent point from Roy.
Yeah, it's very, very relevant.
Not only is it more expensive for families, but it's also, I mean, when it comes to, not to stand on a soapbox here, but when it comes to American public education, it's one of the first things to go. Activities, athletics.
In general, not just athletics, but activities.
Arts, which is just wrong, frankly. And you know, there's been, I think, a growing, particularly in the arts and in athletics, where the haves and the have-nots, the disparity between the two, I think, is growing, where you have your, you know, your more well-funded schools. Oh, yeah, they've got a top-tier arts and music program, and they compete statewide. And their football team is ranked top 10, and their boosters are great and everything. And then you have smaller, less funded schools that are scrapping together used uniforms, old equipment. You know, their marching band is playing with instruments that are over 40 years old. Yeah. They got dents the size of golf balls in them. You know, it's a case where it's the haves are becoming, well, are having more, and the have-nots are struggling even worse.
And look, it's not inexpensive to play club sports. It can be very expensive. I know our friend, our colleague, Brandon Tao, and the Blackouts, they try to keep their price for their club basketball program at a reasonable price, which I think they do a great job with that.
Right.
And not everybody can say that. I'm not going to point out anybody that I think is gouging anyone. I don't really have that information in front of me, but it's not cheap to do it.
Right.
And that's part of the issue as well. I think there is a bit of a, the best way to phrase this.
Okay.
That for, I think for some young people now, where they see other things to do in regard to social media has become a big part of their lives, that they feel like I can go and be popular and well-known and a celebrity or whatever by doing TikTok videos or YouTubes or whatever. I can find other things that satisfy my ego, where there is a little bit of an ego if you play high school sports, if you play sports in general, that I want to go out and I want to compete and I want to show that I belong or I'm the best at this or whatever. There's that competitive nature to it. And I think for some young people, it's getting channeled in a different direction. And it's not about necessarily playing sports. And it feeds that part of their ego. There's some kids that just play because there's a love of the game. There's some kids, I want to be known for being really good.
Right.
And some kids are maybe thinking, I can be really good at something else, possibly. And I don't want to be that guy, because I don't want to be the guy that's, you know, well, back in my day, athletes were better and kids cared more and they are more. Because there are plenty of kids that make a great concerted effort, devote their time to being really good at whether
something.
It's theater, band, high school sports, pick your sport or whatever. But I also think there are other things now that the kids that kind of take their attention away from that a little bit. I'm like, do I need to go out and have a coach yell at me for missing a block or because I didn't box out on a missed free throw? That they don't feel like they want to deal with that. Maybe that's me portraying some young people as being soft. I think they just look at other opportunities where I don't have to deal with that. Not every person is wired that way.
And so I'm right on the cutoff between Millennial and
Gen Z. And if you feel like if I'm being old man shouting at the clouds, I just feel like that there are other things that interest a lot of kids now.
It's not an unfair critique. I think
if I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong. I'm not going to be offended by it.
I don't think you're wrong. I think it's more because you talk about how the rise of social media and technology has propelled Gen Z into that stratosphere where, and And again, getting back to something said last hour, when COVID hit, all of their schooling was done online.
Yeah.
Everything that they did for a span of a year or 2 years was virtual, you know, virtual meetings, virtual family time, virtual visits with grandma if she was ever able to figure out how to turn her microphone on. You know, schooling was virtual. Friendships were all virtual. Everything they did was in this digital space that they were already starting to become more comfortable with and more accustomed to, that then led to, once they had to do everything virtual, that just kind of seemed like a more natural transition for them. And it's not that they're necessarily stuck there. It's just that that's their comfort zone. That's where they would prefer probably more than likely to operate. And so, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, getting back to this decline in participation in sports at this level, I think there's no one clear-cut answer. I think it's a mix of things. I think it's a finance thing. I think it's
kids being forced to pick one sport over another. I think that plays a role in that.
I think parents have more and more health concerns about the long-term health of their kids when it comes to things like concussions, repetitive motion injury, ACL. I think more and more parents have legitimate, valid concerns about that. I think you also have the parents that you also see the parents that are at the games that are just, and coaches talk about it all the time. They yell and scream, but it's very targeted. They think their kid's going to get, you know, why isn't my kid starting? Why isn't my kid my kid
was the best kid on his club baseball team.
And those kids.
And so why isn't my kid starting in high school? My kid doesn't need to do this. He'll just go play on a travel team. And
right.
Because we've seen that happen with volleyball a little bit, that kids don't play high school volleyball. And this, once again, not a knock on AJ and his fine club program or anything. But, you know, there are kids that sometimes say, I don't need to go play high school volleyball. I'll get seen by a college program. If I play club volleyball, I can send them my tape and they can evaluate me, and we'll go from there. So if you got some thoughts on it, text or call us, 970-242-1340. We've got to take a break. Running behind here. We still have Four Down Territory coming up, and also Chassa Commissioner Mike Kruger will join us next hour as well. Pick your upset in the NFL this weekend. College football, your prediction on Broncos, 49ers. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340.
Stay by the radio. You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 850. I just fell-skied myself.
Oops.
Still thinking about you, man.
He would be so happy with his Bills right now.
Oh, he would be thrilled. He's got to be up there just
over the moon.
Bragging to everybody about the Bills right now. Yeah. All right, 8:51, and it's time for Four Down Territory.
We're into Four Down Territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, the curious story of Ime Udoka, the Boston Celtics head coach.
Yeah.
Took the Celtics all the way to the finals in his first year as head coach. Well, Ime Udoka is on suspension for the entire season because he engaged in an improper, intimate, but consensual relationship with a team employee. Guess things started as consensual. Things were okay. And then the woman changed her mind and recently accused Udoka of making unwanted comments toward her.
Yeah.
There's also, from my understanding, a little problem. The organization, you're not allowed to
date
in the organization or have a relationship. So that's a problem. So he has been suspended for the entire season. What a bizarre
thing. Weird. And we're only probably going to learn more as this develops. Or maybe not. Maybe that now that he's been suspended, maybe it's... Maybe we won't learn more. I don't know.
Joe Mazzulla, who a lot of people think is going to be a head coach at some point in this league down the road,
mm-hmm.
is the interim coach. How about that? Season hasn't started yet.
You're in.
Guess what?
Next man up.
Throwing you right in the deep end from day one. All right, moving on to second down. Cleveland hosted Pittsburgh last night. NFL Network was there. Steve Smith Sr. was there. So was Brownie the elf, the mascot of the Cleveland Browns, where Steve Smith not exactly thrilled with something Brownie was doing.
I believe Steve's about to hijack the segment. Go, Steve.
Hello, MJD.
Yeah, here it comes.
Hey, Steve. I love you, man.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Hey, MJD, you all right today?
I'm doing phenomenal, bro. I just love our energy right now. All right. It must be.
Hey, listen, I know you're heading to London, so you feeling a little fresh about yourself.
Don't be telling people my business.
Hey, don't let... Hey.
That's between me and you.
As my mama used to say when I had friends over, don't let your friends get you in trouble, young man.
We're going to get to it here, trust me.
I don't play for the Panthers. I'm just saying the Jags have a better record right now.
Going back in.
I'm just being honest.
I still love you, MJD.
I love,
this
you know,
looks
I love
like
you
Jacksonville
more.
Teal right here.
It is.
MJD.
He want to be a Jag right now. Everybody want to be a Jag.
I'm just wearing this fire suit, brother.
Anyway, Nick Chubb, I believe, Colleen, that you're onto something. Because I believe that the Cleveland Browns are plenty fine.
I'll tell you what.
That's what we
watch
don't
your
want.
Backs out there.
Watch your back.
One of these boys hit me while I ain't in a uniform. They will not be playing tonight.
Yeah. The Cleveland Browns.
Tell you that.
Are plenty comfortable with the weather here and this backfield and leaning on Nick Chubb. You can't get analysis like this, Colleen. You can't buy it.
No one offers this.
They want me to come out of retirement. They don't want that.
Okay, well, they were supposed to show the clip. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Of Brownie stepping on his shoes, and it ticked Steve Smith off.
Don't mess with a man's shoes, especially if they're probably like $1,000 shoes.
They were indicating to me that they were going to show that happen, and that did not happen. I'm sorry. But anyway, it made Steve Smith Sr. a little bit upset, so he's got a feud now with Brownie the Elf, apparently.
I'd be upset, too.
All right. I know yours will be much better on third and fourth down than that. Sorry.
Avs and Nuggets are back in training camp, more likely. Another Jokic MVP, another Avs Stanley Cup. Think quickly here. You're under the gun.
Avs Cup.
I agree. All right. For the degenerate gamblers out there, for entertainment purposes only, the over-under last night, Browns and Steelers, was 38. It was 37 right until the Browns scored that last touchdown. Thank you very little, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
You have a gambling problem.
All right.
1-800-522-4700.
It's good that you memorized that. All right. Coming up next hour, Chassis Commissioner Mike Krueger will join us. That's on the way at the top of next hour, plus our fearless football picks on the Jim Davis Show.